Reb David Eisenberg.
Not allowed to go.
Is it not? Sorry, it make noise.
It picks up all the words.
Really? Okay. Yossi, is everything good? Okay. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. I often say it's a miracle that I make it here every time over again to make it through traffic in Broughton Park to schools and everything. It's mamish a miracle to make it here for 9:10. So I was driving home from shul today and in front of me was a driving instructor. Most people find driving instructors already difficult, but it was alright, it was a very short distance, it wasn't the end of the world. And on the back of the driving instructor's boot, there was a magnet advertising a driving instructor. That driving school seems to have a Heimish or female driving instructor that helps them out, or that does, I guess, instructions for women. And for some reason, I'm not exactly sure, they decided instead of making one big magnet, they had a magnet that was split in half. So they had half a magnet, then you had, I don't know if it was Ford, BMW, whatever it was different, there was the emblem of the car, and then there was a second half of the magnet. And what it basically said when you read the magnets, half and half, it says, Heimische driving, female instructor. And I thought to myself, yeah, there's lots of Heimish drivers out there. I don't know if anybody needs instruction on how to drive Heimish. I prefer not. But, Baruch Hashem, we've made it here anyway. So, I want to go back. We had some shailas that we discussed, I think it was back in August, and then Yom Tovim and everything else got in the way, and I want to come back to some of those questions and some of the things that we said we were going to discuss. And that is non-Jewish people doing malacha for you on Shabbos. We started on this, we mentioned at the time different things. Let's go through it slowly again. Let's just go through the main basic rules that come with this, and then we will try to go back to our examples. I'll tell you, I think we spoke about the example, about the shaila that I had right before Sukkos. With the card, did we speak about that? Either we did or we didn't, we'll mention that soon. Okay. These are the halachas of this are found in Siman Reish Mem Gimel, Reish Mem Dalet, and Reish Mem Hey. As well, you'll also find the halachas in Reish Nun Beis, things you can or cannot do Erev Shabbos, you'll find between those, you'll find all the different halachas that come up on this. And the first thing we're going to say is you need to split up into two categories. When you have a non-Jewish person working for you, that's the first thing, and then we'll talk about shutvas, having a partnership with a non-Jewish person. So when you have a non-Jewish person who works for you, there's no partnership or anything involved over here, you're the owner, the non-Jew is working for you as a worker. There are different ways that you can go about employing this non-Jewish person. You can employ the non-Jewish person in the olden days when we're talking about fields, you could have employed the non-Jewish person for a percentage of the field. So whatever it is, I was known as Arisus. It's brought in the beginning. If you look, there's a short synopsis in the beginning of Reish Mem Gimel. There's a synopsis exactly of the halachas. It's about 10 lines in the Mishnah Berurah, but it gives you a very, very good summary. And he says you can employ someone for a percentage. That means whatever your field is going to grow, he'll take 20, 30% of whatever it is, whatever the fair market value was at the time, and you'll take the rest. So you own the field, he does the work. That's one way of doing things. So you've hired the fellow, given him a percentage. Another way to get this person to work for you is by paying him a set amount. So you have whatever it is, you give him, let's see, 1 second. The first one is, right, the second one is where the non, I'm sorry, let's go back. The second one is where the non-Jewish person takes all of the profit. whatever it might be. He'll take all the fruits. He's working in this field. He'll take all the fruits. He'll take all the vegetables, everything that's grown. And he will pay you a set amount for it a year. So he'll pay you, I don't know, whatever it is, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 pounds, depending on the size of the field, the size of the crop and everything. He'll pay you a set amount at the beginning of the year to rent your field off of you. And then all the work he's doing is for him to be able to get the fruits. That's the two types that you can, that's the two types that will be mutter, we'll discuss in a minute. And the third one is where he's working for you. You take all the profits, you take all the fruits, you take all the vegetables that are growing in this field, and you pay the person a salary. A regular salary, whatever he gets charged for a day, a week, a month, whatever it's going to be. And there, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that there is, and this is really based on Shulchan Aruch and before then, but it tells us that there is a difference between the first two examples I gave and the third example that I gave. Because in the first two examples, as a non-Jewish person takes a profit or takes a part within the fruits, he is doing work specifically for himself. Now, he's going to do work for you as well. He doesn't want to, but in the end of the day, what he really wants to do is he wants to get a percentage of the field, or he wants to grow as much. Take the second one, that's probably the best example to give in this instance. He is working at the moment, every bean, every potato, every carrot, every apple that grows in this field will be his. And he has to pay a certain amount at the beginning of the year to be able to have the privilege of being able to till and work this field. Why is he working? Because he wants to give you money, or he wants to make his own money? He's working for himself. He just has a cost involved in being able to get this profits. In the second case, in the first case also, he's working for himself. He's working to be able to get as much as he can out of this field. There's going to have to be a cost involved over here. The cost is going to be involved. He's going to have to give you 20, 50, 70%, whatever it is, of the fruits, and he'll get the rest. But he really wants the money for himself. In the third example, he's working for you. He's doing a job for you. It's your produce. It's your items. And he is just getting paid a daily wage. And he's working because he's getting paid his daily wage. That is more problematic. And here we're going to discuss the two types, which is, on the one hand, you have a person we called that goy or nochri adaita denafshe ovid, a non-Jew is doing it for himself, for his own benefit, and that will be mutter. A non-Jew who does work for his own benefit will be mutter. There'll be a cost involved, I'll go to you, that's a different discussion. But he's doing it for himself. Whereas in the third example that we gave, that's called Maisa Shabbos. So it's not really Maisa Shabbos because you didn't do the Maisa Shabbos. It's really called Schar Shabbos. The money that you make on the fact that this fellow is working for you on Shabbos. You've hired him on Shabbos. He's doing a job for you on Shabbos. You paid him an hourly wage on Shabbos. And for the hourly wage that you paid him on Shabbos, he's done a certain amount of work for you on Shabbos. That work you cannot benefit from. That will be considered Schar Shabbos, and that's also. That is the first thing to be discussed. Then, beyond that, there is another issue, and that second issue is the issue of Maris Ayin, which we'll discuss. That issue is a little bit easier to get around, and in certain instances you can get around it, specifically, as we said, when there is a great loss of money. So that when somebody passes by your field, and he sees somebody working on your field on Shabbos, it doesn't look right. However, we can have the discussion. If it's a field, and the norm is that people rent out their fields for a certain amount of money every year, and that the non-Jew working in your field will be able to take all the produce, and you will just get a schar, you will get money for it, behavlo, because you're getting an entire year's worth of money. You're not getting paid for Shabbos only. You're getting a yearly wage for him to rent your property, to be able to do whatever he wants to with it. In that instance, if everybody knows that the non-Jew is working on his own accord, the non-Jew is working for himself, then there will not be an issue of Maris Ayin. There won't be an issue of anybody walking past and saying, gee, I thought this person was a lot better. I didn't realize he employs people on Shabbos to work for him on Shabbos. Because anybody who looks in the field and sees a non-Jewish person working on Shabbos will automatically assume he's not working for so-and-so. He's working for himself. He's rented this field. Just happens to be that it's a Jewish field, but he's doing work for himself. Whereas in certain instances, certain businesses are either rented one way or another, and some of them are rented only for... Somebody, where's Yossi? Yossi, can you work with the mic? It's just, there's a lot of echo on it. Just disturbing a bit. Sorry. In certain instances, the person is hiring out the field might be hiring out the field specifically to be get, you know, he might be hiring out the field, but he also might, yeah, that's better, thank you. He also might be hiring out the person. He might be just getting this person to work for him. And then people walk past and say, somebody's working for him on Shabbos. There you have an issue of Maris Ayin. So that's your two issues that you have to deal with in general when it comes to having people working for you on Shabbos. That's not your talking partnerships. You are the owner, he's the worker, and there are two ways it could work. Either he's working for himself, and everybody knows he's working for himself, and that will be okay. He could be working for himself, but people don't know he's working for himself. That will be an issue of Maris Ayin, as we said. And there's a third one where he is working for you. And if he's working for you, that will definitely be a problem. That's the three hagdaras that we have. Yes, sir.
If you've got a few fields,
yes.
And each one you've got different conditions.
Yes.
So people will always think that he's working for money and for fixed wage.
It depends. If it's so, we don't look at your fields, but we look at what's the general practice in town. If there isn't, then it will be a problem on our side. If there isn't a general practice in town, then people might still think that you're doing it for your own profit as opposed to him working for himself. Unless there's a way for everybody to know, then that will be problematic. Okay, that is as far as you being the owner and the non-Jew doing work for you. Now we'll have another issue that will come up, and that is when you have two people that jointly own a business. Many times there are people that have a shutvus with a non-Jew. And if you have a partnership with a non-Jew, there we get into other halachas. Because it's now the question is, it's not really who's working for whom. It's my company and it's his company. We both earn 50%. So therefore he's not really working for me and not really working for him. I'm working for the company. So what can you do and what can you not do? So here these are the halachas that are discussed in Reish Mem. I think it's Reish Mem Hei. That's right, Reish Mem Hei. And again, he gives a summary, a synopsis, right at the beginning of the halachas, of the first few sifim. And again, we'll go through this. If you have a partnership, there are two people that own something in partnership. The halacha is that you cannot take any profits for Shabbos. The bottom line is, if your company is trading on Shabbos, you are making money by the fact that the company is trading on Shabbos. You can't do that. That's making money on Shabbos. That's for sure, Osir. However, there are ways to be able to rig the system so that not that you're making the money on Shabbos, but that you can make a deal with the person that you're making the business deal with. And the deal would go as follows. The deal would say, do you know what? Let's split it, however it's going to be. You'll get all the money for any work made on Shabbos, and I will get any money for any work that comes in on Monday, on Tuesday, whatever. Choose a day, it doesn't really make a difference. And therefore, the money from Shabbos is not yours. And the money from Tuesday is entirely yours. Then, that will be mutter. But... Yeah, that's still irrelevant because at the end of the day, it's not yours. As long as everybody knows that it's owned jointly. If people think it's owned by you only, if nobody knows you have a non-Jewish shutuf, then you'll have a problem because people say, what's going on over here? But if everybody knows, and we'll speak about it soon, like, you know, it's, you know, Cohen and Bates, whatever firm, you know, call it whatever you want to, yeah, then you'll know, pardon?
Cohen and Smith.
Well, Smith is not a good one, right? I think from coming from you, that's not a very good example. Sorry, Reuben, yeah? I was going to say Cohen and Smith, which is why, but there's a reason I didn't say it. Yeah? Whatever you want to say. Is it working, not working? It's working, okay. Right? Everybody knows this is owned, you know, by Cohen and by a non-Jew. Yeah? We did mention, by the way, last time when we spoke about this, we did mention the fact that, for example, Cohen's Chemist is a large Asian chain. It's not a Jew. It used to be owned. The first Cohen's Chemist was owned by Jews and was bought out by two Asians. And they've expanded the business. And because their first chemist was called Cohen's, they have an entire chain. I think somebody said they have a massive chain. It's about 150. You know, you were in the chemist. Yeah, it's about 150 or something like that. A huge chain of chemists. They're all called Cohen's Chemists, but not owned by Jews. Yeah. So now you might pass by a Cohen's Chemist. I always found it interesting until I found out that it was owned by Asians. I always found it interesting that there was a Cohen's Chemist on Princess Parkway on the way down on Moss Side. I always thought that's not the best place for a young Yiddish boy to go ahead and open up his business. I didn't think it was a, but it's not a Yiddish business. So then there's no issue of my sign either. When people walk by and go, who's this cone? I don't know. You don't know who the cone is. And if you know who the owner is, you know it's two Asians. It doesn't matter. Right? But if people know that the business is owned by a Jew and a non-Jew, then that's okay. If they don't know, if it's known as a Jewish business and there happens to be a silent non-Jewish partner, there you would have an issue. Because everybody's going to say there's a Jewish business working on Shabbos. You know it's not true, but it doesn't help because you still have a Maaseh Ayin issue. So you'd have to let people know that there's a silent non-Jewish partner within your company. Otherwise, they think a Jewish company is working on Shabbos. So you now have a Jewish company and a jointly owned company by a Jew and a non-Jew, and you make a deal. The deal is, but the deal has to be made right away from the beginning. When you make or when you create the partnership, the deal needs to be, I will get all the profits as the Jew on, choose a day, any day other than Shabbos, and you as the non-Jew will take all the profits for whatever other day it is, and then you need to sit down and you need to split the profits that way. And if Tuesday turns out to be more profitable one week than Shabbos, good for you. And if Shabbos on a whole turns out to be a more profitable day, and that fellow ends up taking 60% of the profits of the business, and you only get 40%, because a lot of revenue comes in on a Shabbos, there are certain businesses where Shabbos is their heaviest day of trading, well, so be it. You know, you have to take the hit. Shabbos is Shabbos. Can't go 50-50 with a person. That's what it is. Okay? We'll talk about there are instances where you might be able to go 50-50 with a person, but that's only in specific, that's only very, very specific. Afterwards, if you've already made that arrangement and then for example, let's give the example now then. Let's say you've made the arrangement. Shabbos is his day, Tuesday is your day. Right? Then we can have two instances. We could either have where Shabbos is his day and Tuesday is your day, and you know that Tuesday really is not as profitable as Shabbos. You know Shabbos is the biggest day for trading, and in general he's getting 10% more than you over the year on annual profits. So he said to me, you know what, I know Shabbos is your profits and Tuesday is my profits. Let's just go 50-50 anyway. That you can't do. Because you're taking profits now for Shabbos. Because you know, why are you asking him to go 50-50 with him? Because you know you're down 10% on the profits. He's making 10% more than you are. So you want to go 50-50 now. So then what does it help you to say, well, he's working on Shabbos and he's making his money, I'm working on Tuesday, I'm making my money. No, that's not true. You're going 50-50 in the end. Right? However, if let's say you have a business where it's very hard to go through, you don't have a great bookkeeper, or it's very hard to go through all the invoices, and it's very difficult. It's not that you don't, you know, it could be that you made more money on Tuesday than he made on Shabbos. It's quite possible. But to sit down and to try to work out the differences between Tuesday and Shabbos is going to take 2-3 days of accountancy work, of somebody going through all the statements and all the invoices and trying to split everything up. And therefore, for ease of purpose, you turn around and you say, you know what? It's going to cost us more money to figure out who owes who money and who made more money on Tuesday or who made more money on Shabbos. Let's just go 50-50. That you could do, because now you're not trying to make up for lost profit on Shabbos. What you're trying to do is you're trying to say, you know what, after everything, it's such a headache to split the business. Let's just split it 50-50. It's easier. Pardon? Havlah comes into it, so that's a very important point to say over here. You're asking a good question, Mr. Mankoff. And that is, Havlah, there's a lot of people that think that if you get paid everything in one go, that's called Havlah. So let's take an example. Let's say you have a girl who's babysitting for you. And the girl babysat for you on Tuesday night, and the girl also babysat for you on Shabbos afternoon, then you could have a Shabbos afternoon shluf. She babysat 2 hours on Tuesday night, 2 hours on Shabbos, and you pay her £5 an hour, so that's £20 you owe this girl now. Right? So you want to say, you know what, if I gave you a £10 note for Tuesday night and a £10 note for Shabbos afternoon, then I've paid you this money for Shabbos and this money for Tuesday, that's also. I'll give you a £20 note, right? And this way the £10 is somewhere included in the £20 note. Some people think that's Havlah. That's not. That's not the halacha of Havlah. Why? Because Havlah means that the profit has been swallowed up within everything else. You're getting paid for a period. The Havlah would mean you're getting paid for a period. So if you say to this girl, I will pay you £20 a week for all the babysitting that you do for me, then that's fine. And some weeks she'll babysit 5 hours, and some weeks she'll only babysit 2 hours, and you pay her the £20, that's okay. Whatever she does. But if you're now making an accounting and you're saying, she worked 2 hours on Tuesday night, that is 2 times 5 is 10. She worked 2 hours on Shabbos, that's 2 times 5, that's another 10. Why am I paying her 20 pounds? Because I owe her 10 pounds for Shabbos. To turn around and say, yeah, but you know what? The 10 pounds is somewhere in that 20 pound note. Go find it. That's not Havlo. Done? But what you can do is you can say you can pay her 20 pounds for Tuesday and have her services for free on Shabbos. That is correct. Yeah, you could do that. However, then it would turn out that, you know, that even if it's not exactly 4 hours, you'd have to make a cheshbon. You'd have to make it work. They say, I'm paying you 10 pounds an hour for Tuesday, and I'm not even, and you don't charge me for Shabbos.
A step further, if she only works for Shabbos 2 hours, what do you do then?
If she only works for 2 hours on Shabbos, you'll have a big problem. You can give her a gift card, you can give her something as a gift, you cannot pay her. We've asked the question, because we've had it sometimes. We've had, my wife and I had to go somewhere for a simcha on a Friday night, and we had to have somebody come and watch our children for an hour or 2 hours, or whatever it was, and that was it. That was the only time this person came to babysit for us. They never came, you're really stuck. You can buy them a box of chocolates, you can buy them a gift card, you can buy them whatever you want, you can buy them a present to say thank you. You cannot make a cheshbon afterwards with them and say, 2 times 5 pounds for the last 2 hours is 10 pounds. You don't owe them 10 pounds. They can't, they're not allowed to take the money off you.
Before Shabbos, you give them £10. Say, listen, however long you babysit, here's £10.
No, he can't work for Shabbos. He's working for Shabbos.
No, these things.
You're not an exact amount.
That would probably be considered still paying for Shabbos. I hear what they're saying. You're still considered paying for Shabbos. But you can give her beforehand, you can give her, you say, I'll give you a present. You know, I want to give you a present. So, and again, cash is not a great present, you know, because, but then it looks again like you've done it. So you go, you buy her a voucher. I don't know, there's plenty of, I'm not so sure people want to have a box of chocolates. You've spent 2-3 hours babysitting for someone's kids. A box of chocolates feels a little bit nebby. I wouldn't want to get a box of chocolates. You end up giving somebody, you give them a voucher for more or less the amount of what you would have paid them had they babysat for you at a shop where you're almost sure they're going to use it. I don't know, you give them a Haber's voucher, you buy the girl an Accessory World voucher or something like that. Go out and buy them something that you know, and you give them that as a present and they can use it, then that you can do. You cannot pay them for Shabbos.
See, if on Shabbos they babysit 2 hours, you say to her, Monday that she babysits 1 hour.
Yes.
£15, and that call
that's okay.
Then you know, I'm paying you 2 hours for that and an hour for that.
I'm saying, but on Monday already I will say to her, I will pay you £15 for the hour for today. I'm not paying you for Shabbos. I'm paying you. You can know that in the back of your head. You can offer her more on Monday. But the bottom line is, you've not paid her for Shabbos. You're saying, I'm offering you £15 for Monday. That's what you're offering her. You're not paying her the money for Shabbos. Okay? Sorry? Chazon u'Baal HaTefillah is a very, very big question. It's discussed in Shinvov, Shinzayin, I can't remember where it is. It's discussed. So there are different halachim within Chazon u'Baal HaTefillah. There are those that say for Klei Kodesh, you can take money even on Shabbos. There's that. Right? There are those that will... Pardon? I don't know, but there's such a heter. So preparing before and you can pay for preparing. I've said a few times, the issue with paying for preparing is the following. If you're paying a person for preparing, what happens if a person prepared the laning, Shabbos morning he wakes up, sore throat, can't lane. You have to get somebody else to lane. Do you have to pay him? Pardon? You should, if you're telling me you're paying him for preparing, yeah, he can't lay. Now, we're not talking about somebody that's just trying to pull a fast one on you. He's not trying to steal money off you. He woke up Shabbos morning, genuinely he's got a sore throat, he cannot lay. Maybe, okay, you can make a deal with him maybe to reduce the fee. But you probably still owe him money. Because if you're telling me you're paying him for a preparation, then you have to pay him the preparation. Unless you say, we pay you for the preparation if you do the job. Right? That would have to be the mahalach that you say. We can't just pay for the preparation. We prepare the preparation when you do the job. Yeah? Okay, you'd have to work that out. So within chazonim, that's part of the discussion. Many chazonim, it depends what kind of chazon you have, but there are a lot of chazonim that are involved also during the week. No, your father was involved during the week with a law with the kehillah as well. Pardon, matzevas, and going to visit people in Bikacholim, etc., etc. And so when they do that, then you can already turn around and you say, that's schar behavlo. He's doing a job the entire week. 90% of his job will be damning for the Amid on Shabbos, but he's also doing a job during the week of matzevas, of visiting people, etc., etc. That could also take hours of his time. Visiting sick people, matzevas, these things can take hours. So you say, well, he's davening for hours on the Shabbos. Yeah, but he's also visiting people for hours during the week. So you can go ahead and you can say, even though You wouldn't have paid him that huge salary for just visiting people during the week. That's already bad law. You're paying him a weekly salary, that will also be mutter. Okay. I'm sorry? Yes. So the one who takes over, that'll be a question. If the one who takes over practiced and before Shabbos, you can pay him for his practice. If the one who takes over doesn't practice before Shabbos, you'll have more of an issue.
Because he's only told
Shabbos morning, so he's only done his preparation. I hear that. Yeah? Okay. Right. So now that's what we're talking about. If, however, you've started, this was important. What we said was that when a Jew and a non-Jew split the business, what you need to do is originally when they create the business, they already, at the time of the business formation, that's the deal. I will work on whatever day a week, and you, the non-Jew, will work for me on Shabbos. Not work for me, but will own the business on Shabbos. If you make the business, and you have a 50-50 ownership, and so that you own 50% of the profits on Shabbos, and et cetera, et cetera, and then suddenly you say, you know what? I just went to Shir, and I heard there's actually an issue with what I'm doing. Can't do that. Let's split the business in a way that I will own Tuesday, and you'll own Shabbos. Too late. Can't do that anymore. Why? Because now already, really you both own all of the business. You both own 50% or 100%, depending on how you want to look at it, as it is a 2 times 100% ownership, or 2 times 50, but you own half of Shabbos. And he's now doing, by asking the non-Jew to work for you on Shabbos, you're basically saying, can you please work for me on Shabbos, and in return for your work on Shabbos, I will work for you on Tuesday. He's doing work for you. In the first case, we said, I don't own the business on Shabbos. When I created the business, at the time of formation of business, we split the business in a way that Shabbos belonged to the non-Jew from day one. Tuesday belonged to me from day one. And therefore, that is just a business arrangement that we have. Shabbos is not mine. But here, if the original business arrangement was that we had a partnership where everybody owns an equal share in all the days and all the profits, and then we say, well, let's split the profits in a way that you work for me on Shabbos and I work for you on Tuesday, then he's working for you on Shabbos. That will be also, so you have to be careful. Now, okay, now that was the basic rules. Sorry, we had to recap on the rules. Let's see some of the cases that I've had. And so shareholders in a company is probably that's usually okay, unless you're a majority shareholder. Shareholder in a company, you own a tiny, tiny percentage of the company, it's not your company. You can't walk into, you know, if you own shares in whatever company it is, you cannot walk in there and take a chair. It's not yours. Right? It's just, you own a percentage and they're doing work, and that's, I mean, they discuss it over here also. If you gave a non-Jew, you give a non-Jew money to do schar for you. If you have a non-Jewish person that does, I don't know, you buy in bulk and you give it to a fellow and he sells it on eBay. Right, you want to take profits off that. Can he be selling stuff on Shabbos? Yeah, this guy's selling on Shabbos because he wants to sell whatever. He's working in an eBay business. He's doing whatever he needs to do. You're taking a percentage, but he's working for himself. That's the kind of thing that would be allowed to do. So I had the Shaila that came up. Go back to an interesting Halach Lemaisa Shaila. And it was something where I had two different psukim from two different Dayanim. And that's the following. Pardon? I think I've told you the story. If I didn't say it here, I said it somewhere else. I do apologize. But the story was as follows. I went to an optician on, it was before, so it was Erev Sukkos. Either Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Sukkos. Buying contact lenses for my wife. And as I'm walking out, one of the non-Jewish lady comes over to me and she says, Rabbi, I need some religious advice. And there's religious advice, you're thinking of the wrong person. I mean, I'm not in your business. Yeah, she says, no, I understand, I'm not Jewish, etc. But I've been given a company car by Mr. So-and-so. And the company car, Jewish company, yeah, I did tell you this, a Jewish company, and it's got all over, written all over it, that is this optician. It belongs to this optician. I live on Scholes Lane. Mitzvah of the Jewish, Mamish, smack in the Jewish Kehillah. Can I drive this car on Shabbos? Can I drive this car on Yom Tov? I know you have your holidays coming up now. I don't want to do anything disrespectful. Is it okay for me to be driving that car around the Jewish community on your holidays, or is that not okay? Right? So that's a Shaila of Maris Ayin over here. Obviously, there's no issue as far as the malacha is concerned. There's a non-Jewish lady driving a car. There's nothing wrong with a non-Jewish person driving a car on Shabbos. Drive as much as you want to. Somebody recently told me, he said, they were walking on Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha. They were walking and there was cars coming back and forth, and the girl turned to her father and she said, excuse me, Daddy, why are all these people driving? And she said, what do you mean? They're not Jewish. They're driving at Barry New Road. What do you want? She said, yeah, but Shabbat UK, you know? And I said, well, no. Shabbat UK was for Jews, not for non-Jews. You know, non-Jewish people can drive as much as they want to on Shabbos. No issues, no restrictions whatsoever. However, the issue is therefore not so much that she's driving, but as people walk through Prestwich, they see a car that's obviously owned by a Jewish company, where nobody knows that there's another owner. I don't think that there's another owner within that Jewish company. It's driving through Prestwich. People say, look, they're doing deliveries. Maybe they're going out, they're doing deliveries on Shabbos, they're delivering lenses. Or they're doing business, they're trading on Shabbos. That's why there's car driving around. So I call Nineberger, and I ask Nineberger, what should I tell this lady? And Nineberger said, nope, Maris Ein. She cannot drive the car on Shabbos. Now, I was surprised because I wasn't sure of that psak, because I thought to myself, there are people that know as well. That's what we talked about before. When people know that there is such a thing as a company car, right? People know that it's not being driven by the owner, that the owner drives a different car, and there are company cars, and you know that non-Jewish staff, non-Jewish employees could be driving a company car that could have your registration that's got the name of your business driving around. So I wasn't so sure about it. So I called another friend of mine, called Rabbi Shruli Gutentag, called him just to discuss it with him also, just to go through it with him. And he says, oh, it's an interesting Shaila, let me go speak to Dain Hul. Huh? So he went to speak to Dain Hul of the Federation, and he came back to him and he said, this is a very, very strange Shaila. I said, why is it such a strange Shaila? He says, I'll explain it to you. He said, if the owner of the business had come to you and had asked you the Shaila, then you might have an obligation to tell the Jewish owner of the business to instruct his non-Jewish staff not to drive the cars that he owns on Shabbos. Right? But here's a non-Jewish lady that's speaking to you. Here's a non-Jewish woman that on her own accord has come forward to you and has said, is there an issue in halacha of Maris Ein of me driving the car? The answer to that question is, no. You're not Jewish. There are no Isurim. Right? You don't have an issue of driving on Shabbos, and you don't have an issue of Maris Ein, and you don't have an issue of owning a business. You know, the issue is on the Jewish side, not on the non-Jewish side. For the non-Jew, there's no issues. And therefore, Dain Hul said, and that's why I went back and said to the lady, Dain Hul said, if the owner of the business, whatever his name is, comes to you and he asks you a question, what should I tell my non-Jewish employees about driving my company car on Shabbos? They're ready, you have to come back and you have to ask the Shaila again. But when the non-Jewish staff asks you, can I or can I not drive this car on Shabbos, the answer to the non-Jewish staff has to be allowed. And they're not Jewish, there's no issue of Maris Ein. Can create a Maris Ein for a non-Jew? No such thing. And there. So I asked the question, it seemed I didn't have to go to the Jewish, I was interesting, I didn't have to go to Jewish owner. Okay. Right. Let's move on. Another question to be discussed. I'm a partner in a Jewish law firm with only Jewish partners. Sadly, they're not frum, and they keep the practice open on Shabbos. Can I take any of those profits? Right? That's a very, it's a common question. That somebody, when I gave the shir at the time, somebody told me, somebody who sits next to me in Chotkov in the morning curl where I learn, said to me that my father had exactly that same shaila. He was part of a law firm, and he was the only Shomer Shabbos partner, and he went to speak to Dan Berger. I think he spoke to Dan Berger at the time, and the question was, what sort of arrangement do they need to do? Can I take any of the profits from Shabbos? What can I do about it? Okay? So, when it comes to law firms in general charge by the hour. Anybody's ever used a lawyer? They charge by the hour. They figure out exactly how much. And therefore, the money that is being earned on Shabbos is not anything that's been earned by Havlah or something. Right? They are charging you by the hour. By the hour is Mamish Shabbos. Okay? You might sometimes, I don't know, again, I I don't deal in business, so I'm sure that the people who here who deal in business, who deal a lot with solicitors, they'll know a lot better than I do. Sometimes you'll have a case where the solicitor will say, I will do all the work for you for X. Right? He gives you a price. Sometimes you come to the solicitor and says, I don't want you billing me by the hour. I want to know beforehand. Yeah, see, Tzvi, you're nodding your head in the back. You know, you probably know about these things better than I do. You don't want a solicitor to be start charging you a fortune. Let's make a deal from the beginning. If it takes you an extra hour, so be it. If it takes an hour less, then I'll take the hit on the extra hour. Yeah, because you're expecting issues. So you can make a set fee. So if you made a set fee, mitchilasoi, so then still there is an issue here. Even if you were talking about, because there the issue is still that the fellow's making the money on Shabbos from the work that he's working on Shabbos. Right? By a non-Jew that might be better. Because a non-Jew, I've not hired you by the hour to do the work on Shabbos. I've hired you for £1,000 to do legal work for me. You do it whenever it works for you. You don't have to come to me on the day. But here's a Jewish person who's working on Shabbos and who's making money on Shabbos. So that money, you cannot get any profit from it. You cannot get any hana from it. So, if you can split the monies easily, then that's great. So you can turn around and you can say, I'm not getting any profit from the monies earned on Shabbos. So you just sell, when you sit down, I don't know how it works with partners in a firm, I'm not sure exactly how the pay structure goes. And that's why you need to speak to Dayan, and that really, I mean, Dimeberger is very, very good with these kind of things. He understands monetary law very, very well. Because you need to see, what is the arrangement between the partners? Are you getting a percentage of every single hour that's billed? Is I don't know, 1 or 2% going to all the partners? Or at the end, are they going to look at the final bottom line after we've paid everybody and then see what the final outcome is, and only then everybody takes a share? It really depends on how you split the profits as to what you can and what you cannot get. But if you can figure out what the profits are for Shabbos, you need to turn around and need to say, I cannot partake in any of these profits for Shabbos. So say, well, it'll end up costing you £20,000 on your salary that will end up being split by the other's partners, and so be it. Right? You cannot get any anah from any malacha that's done on Shabbos. These Jewish people, these partners of yours, are working on Shabbos and doing work for you on Shabbos, and you're making money on the fact that they're working for you on Shabbos. Cannot do that, cannot take any profit from that. Okay? If you've made, from the word get-go, if you made an arrangement that you're not a partner in the law firm for Shabbos, but you'll get extra profits on Tuesday, fine. So then you can get the extra on Tuesday. You'll have to figure out what it is that was billed, and you can get an extra percentage for Tuesday, and that's tit for tat. That's fine, because you don't own it on Shabbos, that you can do that as well. If you don't know, if you can't figure out, I think with law firms, it probably should be easier to be able to figure out what the profits that are that have come in over a specific time, because they bill by the hour and they should keep very exact records of when the work has been done and how much they've charged. If you cannot take out, if you don't know, for whatever reason, you cannot figure out, you don't have the staff to be able to go through the books and everything to go through 52 weeks worth of Shabbos to figure out how much money has come in and what the percentage is and how much you would get, then the halacha is, you would take out a cut from whatever the percentage is going to be. So you say, I don't know, the percentage of Shabbos will be 1/7, or you know the work on Shabbos might not be 1/7 of during the week, it might only be 1/6 because the firm is closed on a Sunday, or it might only be whatever it is, it might be more, it might be less. You take out an appropriate percentage. That percentage you don't take, you say to yourself, okay, I don't know what it is, but this is the money that I'm not touching because it was Shabbos. You win some, you lose some sometimes, and you move on with it. Okay? Right. Now, what happens if the firm is Jewish and non-Jewish, Cohen and Jones? Right? You have a Jewish and non-Jewish firm. The solicitors that are working there are not Jewish and work on Shabbos. Can you then take a percentage? Okay? Then we already say that the non-Jew is working at Daita Nafshe. Why is the non-Jew working for the firm over there? Because you've instructed him to work for the firm, or because he wants to make, you know, Mr. Jones is working for the firm because Mr. Jones wants to make as much money as he can. You work for the firm because you want to make as much money as you can. You then sit down, you bring all your clients together, bring all the profits together, and you split it up. But he's not working for you. And anybody who passes by knows it's Cohen and Jones. Right? Knows it doesn't belong only to a Jewish person. It is obviously that it is obviously a joint owned business. And since it's obvious as a joint owned business, there's no Maris Ayin over here. You've not instructed the non-Jew to do any work for you on Shabbos. Therefore, you can take a cut on the profits. If you tell the non-Jewish person, look, there's a very, very big case that we have, and we have to work through Shabbos. I know I can't work through Shabbos, but you know, please, do me a favor. Don't take this Shabbos off. Do the work this Shabbos so that we don't fall behind on our case. Now you've already asked him to do work for you on Shabbos. If you've asked him to do work for you on Shabbos, they already have an issue, because it's not only that the non-Jew is working for himself, he's working because he's trying to do some work for you as well. Then already you'd have an issue taking the profits. But in general, you could partake in the profits. Again, as we said, number one, the money, he is working for himself, he's not working for you, and you split everything evenly afterwards. And we can see that this is not only a Jewishly owned firm, but it is obvious that it's a non-Jewish owned firm, therefore it's not Schar Shabbos, and it's not a problem of Maris Ayin either. In that instance, you would be allowed to take some of the profits. Have a good day. That's going to be my new year's age, Shemayim Ha'aretz.